We'll be in James tonight, James chapter 4. And the side note, as we was traveling Friday, was listening to Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about the top 10 for a winning family, and he had a more clever title than that. I just don't remember exactly how it was, something top 10 to win or something like that. And he was talking about taking the Lord's name in vain, and you know, we think of the obvious, using God's name as a cuss word, and that's vanity. But boy, he said something, and it just kind of struck me a little bit. If you get in church and you're singing something like, "All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I give," and if you're not doing that in your life, you're taking the Lord's name in vain. And I said, "Oh, man, that's harmful." That's helpful, but it's harmful, man. That's convicting. And kind of leads into what we'll be talking about tonight, self-centered versus God-centered, looking in James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. And though we say James is the rubber meets the road Christianity, if you want to know if you're doing it right or wrong, go to James and he'll either pat you on the back or knock you in the teeth. Either way, you'll find out real quick. You know, James begins and he describes a conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're familiar with that conflict. We have it. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't have that conflict. You just have the flesh. But when your spirit's been born again, you have a conflict of wanting to do the right thing and having the flesh wanting to do the wrong thing. And so in order to take care of that conflict, we have to live to the Spirit, amen. There are many times when a believer may be overcome by the things in the world and they give in to the flesh. And when one gives into the flesh, one's no longer God-centered, but rather we have become self-centered. And sometimes we can get into a mode where we're self-centered and not even realize it. And sometimes we think we're God-centered, and yet we're still hanging on to a little bit of self-centeredness. And James is real quick to point that out. And he gives us a wonderful contrast in this short little passage here between verses 6 through 10. And James tells how the believer can be changed from a self-centered person to a God-centered person, and understanding that he is writing to Christians and he is writing to people that have to live in the flesh while walking in the Spirit. And he understands that there is a conflict and a battle, and he wants us to be victorious in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray one more time and we'll read the word. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to meet together. God, I pray that you would speak the truth tonight. Use me, Lord, for your honor, your glory. Speak to our hearts, Father, that we might be changed into Lord, the person that you want us to be. God, more like Jesus each and every day. And Lord, we confess that, Lord, while in this flesh we do struggle, Lord, help us to walk more and more in the victory, that the flesh would be more and more in defeat. Thank you so much, Father, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. In James chapter 4, and we'll read those verses starting in verse 6, it said, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble your hearts in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. He shall lift you up." And I always read that verse 9 and say, be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be mourning and your joy to heaviness. And that's kind of strange as a Christian. Why do we want to be like that? Well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, God is opposed to man's self-will, because when man is left to himself, he always chooses to do that which is right in his own eyes. If we was to start each day thinking about what we have to do and what we need to get done, we're going to focus on that which is right in our own eyes. That is the nature we're born with. That is the nature within us. And we can go back and read about Israel, that time after time and time after time again, when they were left to themselves and left God out of the equation, they did that which was right in their own eyes. And anytime we do that which is right in our eyes, we'll find that we do that which is contrary in God's eyes. And so if we're going to walk and do that, that brings honor and glory to God as a born-again believer, we need to seek to do that which is right in His eyes. And it's only by God's grace that man can deny himself and become God-centered. He told us that in 4. He said, but He giveth more grace. And I'm so glad God gives more grace. And He gives us the ability to overcome. He gives us the power and strength through the Holy Spirit to deny the flesh and deny the old man so that we might walk in the new man, the new spirit. God's grace is unmerited favor, or it could be said as His practical bestowment of goodwill upon our lives, upon who we are. And I'm grateful that He gives us His goodwill, because in and of myself, there's no goodwill. There's only my selfish will. God gives His children the ability to resist and deny whatever pleasure the world offers in the place of God. And you know, this world's full of pleasures. The enemy's made sure that there's some sort of counterfeit everywhere around us that can counterfeit the joy that God has for us. He's placed it on every corner, and we not need walk far before we can find something that'll entertain the flesh and make the flesh feel good. He's good at that. And our flesh enjoys that. And sometimes it don't take much temptation from the enemy to fall to the pleasure of this world. And we have to be careful, and we have to watch out what we're doing and not to allow the flesh to have that. We not only have to resist the world, we have to resist the devil as well. So there's some things I want to look at. We're going to look at self-centered symptoms and God-centered symptoms. And I want to begin first with self-centered symptoms. And I got 4 of them as listed here in Scripture. He said in 6, wherefore He said, God resists the proud. One of the main symptoms of one who's self-centered is pride. If you find that you have pride rising up in your life, you can bet that you're no longer God-centered. You've become self-centered. And if you're self-centered, you cannot be God-centered. What is that pride? That pride is that better than you attitude. Look at how righteous I am. Look at how good I am. Man, I am God's gift to Christianity. What would God do without me? You see, man, there's people that think like that. Yeah. I hear some of them preaching on the TV. I see some of them walking around in the way their attitude and the way they carry themselves of how much better they are than everyone else, how much more righteous they are than everyone else. And God forbid we'd ever look down at someone else and say, man, I thank God I'm not that bad and I'm more righteous than he, or I'm more righteous than she. You remember the Pharisee that stood up in the synagogue and did that. God, I thank you that I'm not like that old rotten tax collector. I thank you that I do my part to tithe. I thank you that I pray so many times a day. I wonder who you're praying to. I wonder what's the point of giving you tithe. God, I thank you that I go to the best church in Lake Charles. God, I thank you that we got beautiful paint and beautiful decorations, and oh God, look how great. And when we ought to be saying inside, God, I'm nothing. God, forgive me. I'm a sinner. God, thank you for counting me worthy to be part of your ministry, to be part of your people. God, thank you for loving me in spite of who I am. And yet the proud sees only how good they are. And pride's lifted up in your own life, you begin seeking the glory for the good works that you do. There's a lot of folks that do good works out there, but you can be bet that they want to make sure that their name's mentioned right along with it. Look what I did. Look what I did. It could even be something as wonderful as building a new building. And we even have the attitude to say, look what we did or look what I did. In that moment, you have now took the good work and claimed it for your own glory. Pride is in your life. You're seeking fault in others, and I talked about that already. Second symptom he talks about is submitting to the desires of the flesh, walking in the flesh, led by sinful desire. led by sinful desire. That doesn't mean from time to time you mess up and you fall and stumble, but when it becomes part of your lifestyle that you're led by that sinful desire that you have, that it becomes the what you seek and what you want to have next, and it clouds your judgment and it takes away from the relationship you had with God, when that takes place, you're now walking in the flesh and you're submitting to its desires. If you find that you fall to worldly temptations over and over and over, you maybe need to stop and check your relationship with the Lord. Now again, he's writing to born-again believers here, not to one that's lost. And so there's a time where as Christians we can get so caught up in ourselves that we've strayed away from the Lord. And that's different than one who says they've been born again and it's a complete lifestyle and then nothing has ever changed. That's totally different. Another self-centered symptom is just feeling far from God. The discernment that you once had of good and evil, and the discernment where you used to could hear something and know that was wrong and that's gone, and discernment has now become cloudy. Maybe you've strayed from God. Maybe you don't feel the Holy Spirit like you used to. You're praying, or you think you've been praying, but you're so far from God that it's not getting through and you're just not hearing what he has to say to you. Maybe it's because you haven't taken the time you need to be in careful prayer and Bible time. Time of reading the Bible, and I talked with the youth this morning with lessons about being immature versus mature as a Christian. And the immature person will go and say, well, I got my 3 or 4 verses in today. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Watch over us, amen, and be gone. And that's the extent of your study and your time with God for the day. And then you wonder why you don't hear from them. And then you wonder why that your judgment has become cloudy. And that's because you're not spending the time in the relationship that you need to be. And I equated it to our relationship with people. I forgot the question exactly, but one of the answers was, well, you think about God. And I said, thinking about him is good, but that doesn't keep him in the forefront of your mind all the time. How do you think about someone all the time? I said, you know, I think about my dad from time to time, but he's dead and gone. He's with the Lord. But I don't think about him all the time. I said, but my wife, on the other hand, I consider her and I think about her a lot. What's the difference? They're both two people I love. One of them I spend a lot of time with. The other one I can't. And the one I spend a lot of time with is near and dear to my heart. And I consider her in the decisions that I make day to day. I consider my children as I spend time together with them. If I do this, how will it affect them? Because I'm with them and I spend time. And so we ought to do the same thing with God. We ought to have enough time with God and spend with him every day that when we do things, we consider what would God think. Remember the bracelets, WWJD? Some of the kids still wear them. What would Jesus do? And that's a wonderful thing. We ought to consider God and what he thinks. And lastly, the self-centered symptoms is self-worship. And he mentioned this in verse 8, when he said, clean your hands, purify your hearts, double-minded. That's head, heart, and hands. That's mind, soul, and strength. Remember the greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and all thy strength, all thy mind, and all thy strength. The head, the heart, and the hands, and its mission right here in this verse. And I never picked up on that before, and God pointed that out like neon lights flashing around my eyes. And when we're in self-centeredness, we're worshiping ourselves. He said, your hands are dirty. Those things that you're doing, your physical doings, the strength that you go through day to day is dirty, and it needs to be cleansed. He said, cleanse your hands. Your heart, that part that leads you, the desires that you have, they're ungodly, they're impure, and they're wicked, and it needs to change. And he says, the head, what you're thinking with is double-minded. You can't even think about the things you need to think to because you've got two different views all the time. You want the pleasures of the world, and yet you want the peace and joy of the Lord, and you can't have both. You double-minded, change your ways. Self-worship. I said, man, that's tough stuff, brother. Yeah. Amen. There's good news, though. The second is God-centered symptoms. Symptoms that come from having God the center of your life and the center of your focus. He said, number one on that list is humble. In verse 10, he said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. To be humble is to put others before yourself. To be grateful, to be counted worthy in the work of the Lord. To seek God's glory in when things are done. And to seek to edify others. That's being humble. Considering yourself less than others around you. You know, when somebody puts you down, comes at you in a hard way, in those moments, you'll determine real quick whether you're God-centered or self-centered. That reaction that comes out. Do you rise up and fight back? Are you humble in your response? You'll know real quick which one of these symptoms you have. Amen. Let that vehicle pull out in front of you in traffic. You'll find out real quick. Secondly, to be God-centered means you resist the desires of the flesh and you resist the devil. You're led by the Holy Spirit and you're walking near God and you're able to resist temptations and remain faithful to God, not because you're strong, but because you are relying on the Holy Spirit and you're walking with Him and you're close to God. In fact, that verse tells you to resist the devil. When you resist the devil, what does he do? He flees from you. And as you resist the devil and he flees from you, what happens? You're drawing closer to God. And the more time you're spending with him, the closer you get. And the closer you get to God, the further the devil wants to be away. And the closer you are to God, the further temptations are away. You will become able to resist temptations and remain faithful because of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Thirdly, draw close to God. When you draw close to God, that godly discernment comes back. When you hear those things that are just a little bit off, it'll trigger in your mind and say, man, that's not quite right. There's something that's just not quite right about that. You become sensitive to the Holy Spirit again. You spend quality time with God in prayer and in the Scriptures. And as you draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to you. What a wonderful thing. If we just make the effort to draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. That's a beautiful picture. And we don't make the effort to draw near to Him, guess what happens? He don't try to get close to us. He wants His children to come back, and He'll search for and He'll move to get you there. But it's up to you to draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. And fourthly, when you're God-centered, God is worshiped. Your hands will do those things for the Lord. Your works are clean and they're pure. Your heart is pure and godly desires and right motives and the things that you do each and every day, your hands and your heart and your head, you become single-minded. You're no longer unstable in your thoughts. No longer unstable when you're thinking. You become single-minded. Along with God's thoughts. So what do you do if you find yourself in the first category? Verses 9 and 10. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. This is what you need to do. If you find yourself where you're not fully God-centered, any one of those that you find that you say in that first category, oh man, that describes me, then that means you're not God-centered and you're self-centered. What do? He says, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning. Well, that afflicted, be afflicted means become afflicted. In other words, realize that you're in misery. If you're walking contrary to God, you are in misery. There's no peace. Recognize the misery in the relationship between you and God and let that lead you to mourning. Let the realization of your wrongdoing bring you to the point of where your heart breaks and says, I've been unfaithful to God. Forgive me. And let it get you to tears.
that those things that cause you to stray from God has separated from you from God, and let it just pour from you. That's what he meant by become afflicted, mourn, and weep. He said, let your laughter be turned to mourning. He said, well, I thought laughter was a good thing, but this right here could easily be translated as laughter that's gotten from gratification. In other words, laughter or pleasure that has been gotten from doing fleshly things. Let those things be turned to mourning. When you realize that the joy and the laughter that you've gotten is because of wicked and ungodly things, let that become mourning to you. Let it break your heart. The joy that you've gotten, the sin that's pleasurable for a season, it's temporary. It's replaced God's joy in your life, and it's robbing you from his joy. Let that worldly joy turn to heaviness, and let it become such a heavy load that you want to disconnect it from your life. And that's what he meant for those verses right there. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let that wicked way that you're going, the ungodly things in your life, bring you to the point of breaking where you turn to God and you do verse 10 and you humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Finally, when the Holy Spirit has convicted you so much and you realize all these things and your thinking becomes clear, you humble yourself before God. Say, God, forgive me. I've been wrong. I didn't even realize how far I strayed, but God, I realize it now, and this and that, and this and that, and that's been wrong in my life. Forgive me. Get back to that place when you first heard about Jesus, when he first convicted you of your sin and said you needed to be saved, and you didn't lose your salvation in this, but get back to that same point. Say, oh, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Confess. Repent. And here's the best word. Be restored. He said in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. When you recognize those things that are wrong in your life and you confess them, and you get your relationship back with the Lord where you want to be and humble yourself before him, confess, repent, and be restored, God lifts you up. You don't have to get up on your own. When you're afflicted and mourning and weeping, it's hard to get up. It's hard to get up, and oftentimes you don't even want to get up, but God will pick you up and drag and just take you in his arms and say, I forgive you, my child. Welcome back home. What a wonderful place that'll be. Falling, broken, face down before the Almighty, and he restores you in his loving arms and wraps them right around you. Oh, how wonderful. It leads me tonight to a question. Where are you in these categories? Between God-centered and self-centered and the things that James described here and what they mean, where are you at? Can you say tonight, Brother David, I am completely God-centered? Or is there somewhere can you say in there, Brother David, I confess that there's things in there that's not right? Well, bring it to God and confess it to him. He restores. He can get you back to where you need to be. Let God have his way tonight.